Today's Bible reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 15, verse 1 to 32. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in the wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I'm starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants."' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called of your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has come back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you killed a fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." This is the word of God.
Thank you, Hannah, for leading the prayer, and Maria for the reading of this scripture. So good morning, everyone. My name is Ariel, if you really don't know me well. But yeah, this morning I'm going to share in the book of Luke. And as we start in the series again, in this gospel, let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that it gives us alive and give us the power to understand your grace and help us to see you more this morning. And Lord, as protect me from any wrong. This is your word, not mine. And help us to see you, Lord. And yeah, just enjoying the presence and listening your word and speaking your truth. to your people. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. According to Global Report on Missing Persons in the year of 2021 by the International Commission on Missing Persons, as I quote in page 21, it says on the screen, an estimated 25 million people globally are going missing. Well, there are so many reasons why these people are missing, and the main reasons are human trafficking and kidnapping. And let's try to have an example here in a smaller figure in India. Statistics shows that 88 women, kids, and men go missing just for an hour. 2,130 people go missing every day, and 64,000 plus people every month, according to India's National Crime Rate Bureau data. And because this is a global issue, each country and governance, even NGOs, Christian organizations, are helping to rescue and look for these missing people. And it's not 100% guarantee that this missing person could be found. Good thing if they found these people. Families and loved ones are still hoping, and they're putting their faith to the rescuer that one day they will be reunited again. And if this is really happening, my brother and sister, our Father in heaven is still in the business of rescuing and saving the world. He's seeking the lost. And speaking of missing or lost, as we hear and read our passage this morning, which are very familiar parables to most of us, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, I hope that this passage will remind us and see that there are so many people who are still lost spiritually. They're physically alive, they're breathing, but spiritually, they're completely lost from what God has been designed for humanity. And Jesus is telling us these three parables with one reason: to reveal the very heart of God, to save and rescue the lost, and that is guaranteed. And in order for us to see God's redemption, he told this parable so that his audience could relate to him. Parable is just a simply an earthly story with heavenly meaning. Now, let's dig into God's word this morning. First thing that we can learn this morning is Jesus welcomes the sinners. If you look at the text, he was surrounded by tax collectors and sinners to listen to him. And understand, in the previous chapter, in chapter 14, Jesus already used strong words. It's not a comforting statement, especially talking about the cost of being a disciple. And still the people are following and wanted to hear Jesus. And he did not stop and judge these people, knowing that all of them are outcasts of in the society, insignificant, so-called unclean in a Jewish community. And Jesus welcomes these people by eating with them. Culturally, when you eat with someone or eat at someone's house, this will conclude that you belong to this family or you belong to this kind of people. There were no divisions between Jesus and these people that would eat in a separate room and the rest would wait Jesus until he finished. Jesus is portraying that no matter who you are, what you did in the past, what kind of life you have, I can sit beside you. We're going to eat together the same time and the same place. I want to talk with you, Jesus. I want to have a conversation with you. I want to have a connection with you. And Jesus used this opportunity that he is available for everyone. But take note that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law privately expressed their complaint. And why is that? Because religiously, they could not accept what Jesus is doing, having meals with the sinners. It is a big no, and they feel disgusted, like, what is he doing? Jesus intentionally did it to expose what really matters in the hearts of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They are blinded by their own morality that Jesus leads them to judge quickly instead of finding and showing love to these kinds of people. And as we try to reflect this as well and try to look around Are we quick to judge and condemn people? Do we welcome people like Jesus did? What are we seeing here that do not hinder people to know and hear about Jesus? Do not stop them in learning and knowing about who Jesus is. Let us make opportunities to welcome people to hear and see who Jesus is. And on the other hand, do not think that Jesus will not welcome you. His arms are open wide to receive you anytime. And He is not asking to do anything just to welcome us. Simply, we just come to Jesus. He's always available for us. And that would lead us to our next point, that Jesus seeks out the lost. In the parables, the shepherd goes after the lost sheep until he finds it. The woman lights a lamp, sweeps the house, and searches carefully. Goes after, searches carefully until she finds it. And interesting to know here is that Jesus is using these elements, the shepherd, the woman, mainly poor, low profile, irrelevant in the society, so that his listeners could relate, because they are unlikely to be reached out or nobody seeks for them if they get lost, knowing that they don't have any value or worth in the eyes of men, especially in the society where they belong, where discrimination is everywhere. But what Jesus is telling here, that Jesus came to seek the lost. What does it mean? Every human being created according to the image of God is precious soul. But because of our rebelliousness and sinfulness from the very beginning, everything was distorted and put to death. Therefore, Jesus came to seek the lost and bring them back to the original purpose. And this is for His own glory. Now in the parables, the moment that this lost sheep and this lost coin had found, Jesus said in verse 7, look at your Bible, in verse 7, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. The same in verse 10, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. We have seen the process of seeking here, go after, search carefully, and they finally found it. And Jesus gave us the interpretation that there is repentance when someone is saved. In other words, salvation comes with repentance. Yes, absolutely, we are saved from the eternal punishment of hell, and repentance should follow. The word repentance in Greek means to change one's mind. There is a change of view and understanding of who God is. Not because someone has twisted your arms, but it comes to the point that we are helpless and we need of a Savior. It is the same in the last parable where the younger son comes to his senses and starts to realize that my life is not worth living anymore. In verse 21, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Brothers and sisters in Christ, repentance is a complete turn away from the things and lifestyle that is not pleasing to God. Repentance is where our mind, our action goes together, and there is a change of behavior. Our spiritual eyes are opened and start to see and compare a life without Jesus. And before we do not know Jesus personally, and the moment we repent of our sins, our view about Jesus changes as well. He is now our Savior, our Lord, our Master, to be adored and worshiped, to be honored, Jesus to be glorified. I completely surrender to the Savior of my life. No more mocking, no more cursing of His name. That's why every time we shared our personal testimony, maybe some of us, on how Jesus saved us, some could not hold their tears to fall because we cannot imagine life without Jesus. Empty, hopeless, like a sheep without a shepherd. But when we have Jesus in our lives, we see a direction, we see a hope. Even though life is in terrible situation, either we're bad or in good situation, we see that we have a living God who saved me and rescued me. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. This is the work of God in our lives, to convict and confront us, because our flesh could not make it. We do not have the power to save ourselves. We do not have the strength to repent. We need Jesus. The question is this still happening, that Jesus seeks out the lost? Is Jesus still reaching out the people? Until this very moment, Jesus continued to seek the lost through His people, through His church. We are His hands and feet, reaching the lost. This is not only for pastors, missionaries, evangelists all over the world who are tirelessly bringing the message of salvation and hope that is in Christ Jesus. Every one of us here has a role to reach out to the lost and lead them back to the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing that is important here is that there are witnesses. If you look at carefully, there are witnesses who rejoice when someone receives salvation. In the parables, the shepherd and the woman call their neighbors. They call their friends and rejoice with them. The father commands his servants to celebrate. Let's have a feast. And even the angels in heaven are rejoicing in the presence of God over one sinner who repents. This is not just you and God, but people are seeing the life is changed. And these witnesses will testify the changes of a one sinner who repents. And that would lead us to our next point here as we study this. Jesus offers a changed life. And speaking of change, I tell you, my brother and sister, Jesus offers a changed life. Well, this is not an easy word to apply and see the changes in our daily lives, because we have our own struggles within. We need a greater power who could help us. And only Jesus can do that through His love, through His acceptance and forgiveness of our sins. Look at the last parable again. When the father saw his son, for sure he was so dirty, smelly, but he did not close the door. He did not argue and debate with him. Why are you here? I thought you're going to go away by your own, but why you are here? You're so dirty. You're not welcome here. But he was filled with compassion, and he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. It is a picture of complete forgiveness and being whole again. A picture of reconciliation. And he said to his servants, quick, bring the best for my son. The father offers new clothing, the best robe, new sandals, even a ring. A ring in their culture is a picture of identity, a new identity. Offers the best food to eat and a place to celebrate and feast. The younger son is not the same person who eats with the pigs, but completely different person. This is not just about a change of outside appearance. But the reason here, there's even change of his heart and his mind. God's forgiveness is always available, and He gave us the access to His throne of grace so that we can be changed, not living in guilt, not living in a sinful life. God welcomes us, and He offers His forgiveness so that we can be changed. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We are standing in the grace of God. We are standing in the forgiveness of God. We are standing because He loves us so much. The moment we ask for forgiveness to God, He will give us His peace. What does it mean? We fail sometimes. We commit mistakes against God, especially when we are in overwhelming situation, pressure from work, family problems, challenges in the marriage lives. But it doesn't mean that we will dwell on that failure and mistakes. Instead, we come to the Lord and ask Him to strengthen our faith. We need to move on, look to Jesus by prayers and meditation of His Word. And Jesus offers a changed life. And remember this, it is a process. This is not an instant change. It is our journey with Jesus so that in every single day of our lives, we need to grow spiritually. We need to grow with Him. And to do that, we need to feed our spiritual life through His words, in prayers, being the fellowship with one another, being the church listening to His word, singing hymns and praise, laying down our burdens and care, praying to one another, and lifting up one another. But on the other side of this celebration between the father and his younger son, take note, the older son was not happy. He is not rejoicing. Instead, he tried to justify all the good things he has done against his younger brother and telling his father in verses 29 to 30, "Hey, Dad, look, all these years I've been slaving for you. I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes, he comes home, you kill a fattened calf for him." Look at carefully his statement here. He was obedient, yet far, very far from the father's heart. He lives in his father's house, but fails to understand the father's heart. And Jesus brings this out again so that the Pharisee, the teachers of the law, could see and understand the message he wants to portray. John chapter 5, verse 39, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." You are so good. You're very diligent in studying the law. But you refuse to understand who is this person. The older son represents the heart of the Pharisees, full of judgment and jealousy. We understand that in their culture, they have the title, the best seat of authority. But Jesus did the opposite. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Yet, He sits with the sinners. He shows compassion to the people. And maybe sometimes you are like this. Our selfishness will come out, pushed by our self-righteousness. It's easy to point out our fingers to others and say, "Well, I deserve more because of I did this, I did that. I should have more privilege because I'm always present." We forget that all of us need of God's grace. Romans 3:23, this is a very famous, familiar verse. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." Or maybe sometimes we've been following Jesus for some time. We've became born-again Christian for 10 years, 20 years, and we still think that the things that I'm doing for the Lord are not enough. I should do this more. I should do that more so that God will always remember me. Isaiah 64:6 Let us all have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are filthy rags. I'm not saying that God will not recognize our good works. God will acknowledge that. But our good works are the result and a sign of a changed life. It is not what we do first in order for us to be saved. And I'll tell you this story. Emeline and I, my wife and I, went to Siem Reap, Cambodia last January to visit these ladies, as in the photo, serving in the mission field. And we're just there to visit, and how are they doing? One of them is working with human traffic victims. We had the opportunity to visit the safe house, the center, and met one of the victims. There were 16 girls in the safe house, ages 7 to 15 years old, if I'm not mistaken. But it is not easy job. So much emotion involved from the first step of rescuing them and bringing them to the safe house with all kinds of assistance offered, from physical to mental help. They educate them, different activities with biblical themes, just to make sure and let them feel that they are in a secure and a safe place. And before heading back home, we gave these 16 roses and let them know that they are beautiful. Let them, this small girl, that they are precious in the eyes of our Creator. Of course, they would feel that life is so unfair because of the horrible situation they experience. But thank God for the people who have the heart enriching and bringing them into the light through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we tell them that these roses, this rose will dry one day, but we leave you with the good news of Jesus that will continue to change the hearts of these victims. If these people are willing to risk their lives to rescue these poor victims, I tell you the truth, Jesus did it already on the cross. Not just to the nation of Israel, stiff-necked people, prideful people, but for the entire humanity, Jesus did it on the cross to save us, you and me. And putting our faith and trust in Jesus and what He did on the cross is enough for you and me to be saved. It's enough. What He did on the cross, it's enough. If you think you are not enough and worthy, it is a lie from the enemy. Ask the Lord to remove that. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we can have access to His throne. He welcomes us. He seeks the lost and offers forgiveness so that we can have a changed life, a new life through the power of His Holy Spirit. He's our loving Father in heaven. He indeed He is, and is willing to accept and forgive you. He alone can save you and me. In the last verse, in verse 32, we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. I hope that this message this morning will clear our understanding of who God is. He's holding me, He's caring for me, and He loves me. Let's pray. Thank you for your love. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. We do not have enough words to express of how good you are and how keeping us in your love so that we can continue to put our faith and trust in you. Lord, there are times that we doubt your promises. There are times that we are scared. There's a lot of struggles within. But Lord, thank you for your Spirit that helps us to live and to walk with you. Help us to repent of our sins. Help us to look you more rather than ourselves. There will be rejoicing in heaven. There will be a celebration. And we are looking for that one day. We're going to see you face to face. But at this time, your goodness and your faithfulness is always at work in our lives. We thank you, Lord. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.